The bottom of Lama Gimel on the Beis, like 7 lines from the bottom, Gufa.
Right.
So, Gufa, Maligin Bepas, the Shemin Shal Truma, Shinit Meis. So, if you have bread or oil that became, of Truma, that became Tame, you're allowed to light it. And you're allowed to keep it over in your house to light it over the course of time, and there was not a chashash of Tekala. Now, the Gemara mentioned earlier, so on that statement, Abai Amar Mishme Dechizkiah, Rav Amar de Bei Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Marta Amar Rav Huna, they said as follows: Lo Shana El Bepas. This only holds true in regards to bread. Aval Chiti Lo. When it came to wheat, Lo, they didn't allow you to leave Chita, that was Chuma, that was Tamea, in your house. Shema Yavo Behemli De Tekala, because that might lead to a Tekala. What's the difference between Pas and Chita? Zirashi says the last line, El Pas. So if you throw the bread, it becomes all disgusting. The person won't eat it. So therefore, you're allowed to hold over the bread because they're going to throw it into the other pile of firewood they have, and there's some bread there. The person won't eat it. The wheat is hard. That's how it grows in the ground. You throw it into the with the firewood, it doesn't get bad. So the person might come to eat it.
Interesting how they say it, to throw bread, because... Usually, by the halakhas of Suda, they say not to throw the bread.
Yeah. Right. That's a shim of that, right?
Yeah. See, it seems like Rashi thinks pashas, if he's already, you know.
Right. Maybe that's only the case when the pas is roi lachila. When it's not roi lachila, then it wouldn't hold true.
Right, so then if it's not roi lachila, so then, what, then why is that?
I mean, roi lachila, I guess, in the halakhic sense, that you're permitted to eat it. As opposed to objectively edible. So in this case, since the bread, you're not allowed to eat it, so they don't really care how you treat it. Maybe. So says the Gemara, that's all according to Rav Huna. However, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu chiti, even when it comes to the wheat, you're allowed to leave over in your house. But why does Rabbi Yochanan permit that? Nichash dilma asu behenli de tekala. So shouldn't you be concerned that if you leave the wheat over time, you might come to eat it? And Shuma Tamea says the Gemara, Kedama Rav Ashi. No, this goes according to Rav Ashi's opinion, Bishlikasa Umiya Sasa, which is a case where it was cooked and became disgusting. Pacharami Bishlikasa Umiya Sasa. So Rashi says in some other context, we'll get to in a second, when the wheat is cooked, boiled, it becomes now a little moist and therefore more disgusting if you were to throw it in with the other firewood. That's the particular case. But Rav Yochanan would agree if it was chita that was raw chita, was never cooked, that would not be allowed to be left over in your house because that stays preserved. So Rashi just explains, so if we're talking about a case of shlikasa misasa where it's boiled and therefore becomes disgusting, why does Rav Huna not allow you to keep it over? Rav Huna says you could only keep Passover because pas gets disgusting. When it comes to chiti, he did not allow you to leave over. But why not? If we're talking about shlikasa misasa, it's going to get disgusting. So Rashi explains that Tarashi shlikasa misasa la'achar shenitmu, after it became tami, this chita, shulkan, you boiled it. And then you threw it within among the other trees or branches you had. They became disgusting after it became moist. They're concerned that you might eat it before you actually boil it. Or while you are boiling it, you might come to eat it.
Why are you boiling it?
Because now you could leave it over. By you boiling it and then throwing it into the wood, the boiling makes it soft and disgusting when you throw it into the wood.
I say boiling, but I'm saying, but the purpose of boiling it is that to make it disgusting.
Exactly.
So because you would think of like cooking it, that would be
right.
You know, I'm saying like you're making like dice of it, you know,
right?
Like cereal,
exactly.
Like,
the oatmeal or something.
Right. So you think that's what you would do it for then?
It seems like the whole purpose is just to make it disgusting, so you can leave it over to use it as firewood. So says the Gemara, Heichi Yitmar.
I just want one question. So you boil it to make it disgusting. So what is? I mean, what's the difference between shlikasa umasis asa?
I think it means as follows: that first you boil it, and then you throw it into the wood umis asa. Then you make it disgusting. Meaning the boiling itself doesn't make it disgusting; it just makes it now moist and soft.
Uh-huh.
And umiyasa, when you throw it into the wood, then it becomes all disgusting.
Okay. It's the same, so it's a process. It's not
right.
Two separate things.
Right. So now the Gemara wants to know, where did Rashi say this that the Shtikasa Umisasa, which we're borrowing from Rav Ashi's statement, we're applying it to our case here. Where did he say this? Ahad Amar Rav Abin by Rav Acha Amar Yosef Abba Abashal. He said it about the statement that Gavel Shabbes Rebbe, which was the place where they would knead the dough in the house of Rebbe, Haya, V'hayu Mechamin Lo Chamin Bechitin Shel Truma, and they would fire up the room, the this place of where they kneaded dough, the warmth helps it rise, using the wheat of Truma that was used for the firewood. Temea, Lalush Behen Isa Betara, to use it to knead the dough. So it wasn't direct, you were just using it to fire up the room. And you're having Truma Tahora, but the firewood was Truma Temea. They weren't touching each other. So Amai Nichash Duma Asu Behele De Tekala, why are you allowed to use any Truma Temea of Chitin? Aren't you concerned the person might come to eat the Truma Temea? Amar Rashi Bishlikasa Misasa. No, it's a case where they took the wheat, they boiled it up, they threw it into the other branches of firewood, and it became disgusting. So now he had left over, he had a whole storage house, including this disgusting chita of Truma Temea, he was allowed to leave over to use his firewood.
Which one is the word last year referring to? The one that used to to heat up the room?
Right. That was used to heat up this room to help the dough rise.
Right, so therefore that dough, they would boil that dough so it wouldn't get mixed up with the other one.
Right. So on this is Machlokes Rashi Tosfos. Rashi explains three lines down. V'hayu mechamin lo chamin v'chitin shel truma tumea. They'd buy it from the other Kohanim very cheap, because the Kohanim don't have much of a use for it, so it's pretty easy to get. Rashi explained, Rebbe ate chulin, as Gemara discusses many times, even though chulin does not have to be eaten in the state of Tara, it was a chomer people took upon themselves. They prepare themselves for eating kachrim. Even though Rebbe ate everything in Tara, lo chayish duma nagu hanichitim tamein beisa. He wasn't concerned that the tamichitim that were used for firewood might touch the isa, which is tar. The but lalu mitaras ocha of lo mitame, because once it becomes disgusting, it no longer has a chaloshim ocha. So, look at Tosas now. It says mechamin lo chamin mechitim shel truma. He writes, Omer Rabbeinu Tam de le kohanim shel beis Rebbe hayu osin. For the Kohanim it was used. Rashi says it was Rebbe was using it. Tosas is Kohanim because Dil Yisrael lo shari ela hanash eno shel kiloi. When it comes to Yisrael, they're only allowed to get hana from Truma Temea if it's a hana that's not going to wipe out the Truma. The Truma will still stay intact. They could just get some type of hana. Kimo Eruv Demarvin Li Yisrael b'Truma. I could use a Truma for Eruv, even for Yisrael, even though Yisrael can't really get direct, I can't eat it, but I can still use it as hana for my Eruv. About hana shakilo, a hana that's going to wipe out the truma, kigon la'achle behemta, to give your animal, or the halak to light candle, also lisra, because I'm impacting the second. So it goes on to explain further, but how does Rashi then allow Rebbe, who is not a Kohen, to get hana from this truma to hana shakilo? So the Gur Arya explains that the only time that's also to get hana shakilo for Yisrael is when the goof of the Yisrael himself is actually physically getting hana out of it, touching it. But when it's not the goof himself, it's simply the warming up the room to help the dough rise that was so indirect, that's not going to be a problem. It's only when the goof of the Yisrael himself is getting hana shel kilui will this be also. Okay, so says the Gemara, Abaye Bar Avin, Rav Hanania Bar Avin, Tanu Chumus, they rabba. These two individuals, seems to be their brothers, Abaye and Rav Hanania, who were the sons of Abin, were learning Maseches Chumus, they rabba, next to Rabba. Pogabahu Rabba Bar Masa, came along Rabba Bar Masa, and he says to them, Amrlu, my Amrisa b'Chumus, to Bimar. What do you guys, what Indian are you discussing in Maseches Chumus? So Amrle, they said, my Kashchat, why don't you tell us what's bothering you about Maseches Chumus? So Amrlu, so says Rabba Bar Masa to these individuals learning. Tanan, the Mishnah says, Shesile Chumos, the seeds of Chuma, Shenitma, I have seeds, some let's say of wheat, seeds of wheat, that became Tame, and they were Chuma. Vishishlan, and then I take these seeds and I plant them. Din is Tahorun, Milatame, the Asurun Milecho. Again, I have Chuma seeds that became Tame. By me planting these seeds, they actually become Tahor, from Tame, meaning Tame, other things, but they're also Asur to eat. This is what bothered him. He asks, V'chim'acher de torim mil'tami. Once these seeds, now that newly planted seeds, are tahor, amai asurin mil'echel. Why can you not eat them anymore? Either they're tahor and you can't eat them, or they're tahor and you can't eat them. How can you say it's tahor but you still can't eat them? That was his problem. So amrulei, they respond to him. Halchi amar Rabba. Rabba says to us the following. My asurim, what does it mean asur to eat? The Mishnah says asurim lezarim, that the zar can eat it. Meaning, when you take these plant these seeds of chuma and you plant them, so it loses the status of it's no longer tame, it's tahor now, but still retained the status of chuma. So this chuma tamea turned into chuma tahora by planting it. So it's to usher to a zar to eat, because it still remains its status of being a chuma, which is usher for a zar.
Why doesn't it, why if you plant it, why doesn't it become something new, a new entity?
Why does it not become a new entity?
Right, when you plant chuma, so why doesn't it become, why does it not become mutter for Yisrael to eat?
See, I guess why would it? Let's see. Rashi says, why does it become tahor? Let's see. The reason it becomes tahor, he says, a little higher up than where we are. Tahara milatame. He says, acherim. Shechiburon lekarka butla mitars ocha. By connecting to the ground, it'll lose its status of a food. So you're saying, once it loses the status of food, mimele, it should also lose the status of chuma. Chuma only is chal and ochel. So that's a good question. So I'm not sure. Probably that. I don't know the reason why. But the truth is, this halacha, the Gemara is about to say, is learned elsewhere. It's not a chiddush. It's really learned from a different mission, so it seems to be unnecessary to be taught here. The explanation, I don't know.
What's
really
the next
Rashi? He says, "V'kasak mishum tuma v'lekwanim." Initially, he thought that when the Mishnah said "aser to eat," it meant to the Kohen can eat it. So the Kohen can eat it. So he was confused. In one hand, it can't be metame tuma, but it can't be eaten either because of the tumma. Either it is. So he said, no, the reason why you can't eat it, it's not because of tumma, you can't eat it because it's truma. So it becomes this truma tamea that I planted now becomes truma tahora. That's the chiddush. Now again, why retain the status of truma if it loses its status of ocha? That's a good question, I don't know. So that's their response. So now, Rav Bar Masa was not satisfied. He says, my kamashal mam, what's the chiddush? All you're telling me is that gidule truma truma. If you replant chuma, the gidulim of them, that which grows additionally, is going to still be considered chuma. And if that's the chiddush you're telling me from the Mishnah about shesidle chumos, we have another Mishnah, Tanina, tells us elsewhere explicitly, gidule chuma, chuma. We don't need two Mishnahs teaching me the same halacha. So it can't be telling me that planting chuma, the additional growth is going to be chuma also, because that's already a known Mishnah. So I'm still stuck with this Mishnah. B'chi tema, maybe you're going to tell me the following. Gidule gidulin, a growing on top of growing, a real third level of growing. You have chuma, it plants. Now there's machlokas, how to define gidule gidulin. Rashi has this pshat, which I don't really understand. Let's take Tosos pshat, at least now. Tosos on the bottom, gidule gidulin, he writes, perish riva, the gidulim hainu gidul rishon, the first type of growing, the first time it grows, min hazera, from the seed, v'acharka chazer v'nata osa, and then you take them, you plant it yet a second time, gidulim zehu gidule gidulin. That's the growing on top of growings. That's what we're referring to. Rashi talks about this case where you have some onions here and onions here, then they grow together, and then they create some other growth. So I'm not sure exactly the mitzvah that Rashi refers to. But if you're going to tell me again, gidule gidulum is going to be aser and chuma also, he says, my kamashvalon bedavar she'ein zerakala. If you're going to tell me that's the case only where the seed never loses itself and the seed never disappears, that it's able to grow and then grow and grow and grow from the initial seed. That's the Chiddush. Hanami Tanina, that's also an explicit Mishnah we have. There's no need for another Mishnah. The Mishnah is HaTevel. You have Tevel, which we said yesterday was something that you need to take Chumah from, but you didn't take yet. Gidulav Mutarin. So if you take Tevel and replant it, that which regrows is going to be Mutar, actually. It won't be Tevel. But that's only true, says the Mishnah, B'davar Shezaro Kala, where the zera, the seed, it no longer exists. If I have tevel, and I pick it up, and I replant it, but the initial seed was no longer there, so that I don't view it as tevel. Aval bedavrish ein zaro kalav, in the case where the seeds do not disappear, the seeds are still intact. So afilu gidule gidule nasur b'achila, even that which replants and regrows, that's going to still be usher, since the initial zera, the initial seed, is going to be usher mishum tevel.
Wait, this, can the Rav say it again? This tevel is not Musar at all, right?
Tevel is not, in general, tevel is asur. You can't eat tevel until
it's,
you.
Produce is not ma'usar at all, right?
It's not ma'usar at all.
What's tevel?
Tevel is exactly. It's not no truma, no ma'usar, exactly.
Right. Okay. Fine. So what does he mean over here? Gedula mutar. What's this mission saying over here?
So the din of tevel is that since it's not ma'usar, I cannot eat it. It's still asur ba'achila.
Right.
So let's say I take this tevel, which I have to take truma and ma'usar, but I didn't yet, and I replant
it. Right.
So the Mishnah says, if it's a type of case where the seed ends up disappearing, it goes away.
Right.
So then that which regrows is going to actually be mutter. Even though initially it was tevel, is mutter.
Okay.
But if it's something where the zera, the seed, stays intact when I regrow it, so the additional growing will be still considered asur midin tevel. It's just an outgrowth of the initial seed. So we see from this Mishnah that gidule gidulim, growings on tops of growings from where the seed is still intact, is going to be asur. So that cannot be the chiddush of the Mishnah above. So, ishtiku. So, Abaye and Rav Hananya didn't have any response. They became quiet. This is a good question. So then they turned to him. They turned to Rav Bar Masna, who really initiated this discussion. And they said as follows, Amarle midish milacha baha. Did you hear anything about this? Do you have a pshat? So Amar Lahu, he says, yes. Hachi Amar Vashashas. I heard in the name of Vashashas the following. Maya Surin, who is it asur to? Asurin le kohanim hol if sululu besachadas. When asur, it's not asur to a zar, not because it retains the status of chuma. It is asur to a zar anyway, it is a chuma. But what's talking about here, it's asur to the kohen. Why is asur to the kohen? Because hesachadas, he just lost focus. It became tameh. He wasn't paying attention anymore. So by the hesachadas, this lapse of paying attention, that's going to be tameh. So Rashi explains, the hesachadas kishenitmu mitchila, when it became tameh, this chuma, these seeds became tameh. He was mesiach das. Mehem shuv. Rashi is lower down. Mehesachadas kishenitmu mitchila hesiach daita mehem shuv milishomer. He no longer watched it. And the pasuk says the chsiv gavit chuma es mishmeres chumasai. The pasuk says, when it comes to shmir, you have to perform shmir. Since it became tamei, he's like, why do I need to do shmir to it anymore? So he didn't do shmir anymore. He was masich daito, and therefore by masich daito, that was disqualified it.
And therefore, what? Because now becomes.
That's right. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what type of psul it is, but because a lack of shmir becomes pasul, and the kohen can't eat it anymore. But ein echadami, really, when you replant the truma, it's going to be tahor, and in theory it should be permitted to be eaten as well, because it's truma tahor now, but they say it's also because Mesiach Daito, you ruined it, by you not watching it. But let's say a Kohen knew for sure that he watched it, even when it became tumah, he was watching it the whole time, provided the shmira, perhaps in theory one is allowed to eat this truma that had been replanted. So that's how Rav Sheshus gets out of this, understands this. So Gemara says, this only makes sense, this only makes sense if when you're masiach daito, it becomes an inherent psul to the truma. And once it's inherent psul, there's no way of fixing it anymore. Even when you replant it, you can't fix it. It's like inherent, like a mum, if you will. If the problem is only a psul tuma, it's an external thing. Not because the guf of the truma is inherently problematic, but we're concerned that by you not watching it, someone tummy may have touched it. So if the concern is on who may have touched it, Havei, Ma'ikla Meimer, what are you going to say? Because then, it's possible, then by you planting something Tameh, just like a mikvah could be Metaher something, planting something that became a Tameh, by something Mechubur L'Karka, something that's connected to the ground, cannot become Tameh. So by me planting something Tameh, that should be Metaher, the Tumah. So again, if it's a Psul Guf, an inherent problem, even planting it won't help it. So then it makes sense. I understand how Rav Sheshia says, by you replanting Chuma Tamea, it's still going to be usher to a Kohen because Masech Daito means there's a Psul Guf in this Chuma. But if you say the Hezech Daito mean I wasn't watching it, so it's very possible someone Tamei may have touched it, so I could just replant it in the ground and the Mechubel Karko is going to be Matarit. So that's not going to get out of the problem. If I replant it, it should actually mutter to the Kohen deed. Where do we see this Machlokas about the nature of Hezech Daito? The Itmar is stated as follows. Hezech Hadas. B'yochanan Amar Psul Tuma. Have, we're concerned someone Tameh may have touched it. B'Shimon ben Lakish Amar Psul HaGuf Have, it's an inherent Psul. B'Yochan Amar Psul Tuma, it's an external Tuma. Have, Shim Yavo Eliyahu V'Tarenu Shamim Lo. If Eliyahu comes along and says, wait a second, you know what, even though you were concerned it became Tameh, I know for sure Eliyahu says it wasn't Tameh. So So you could become tahor. You're allowed to eat it. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer psula guf havei. It's actually an inherent psul. And even if she'im yavo Eliyahu v'yitarenu ein shamim lo. Even if Eliyahu says, wait a second, I know no one tummy touched it, we don't believe him. Because hesech daito is a psul guf. It's an inherent problem to the truma. Truma needs to be guarded at all times. Without the shmir, it b'meila becomes possible to be eaten. Nothing to do with becoming tummy.
The psul guf, that's the physical one, or that's the one that's which mandamar is the one that's maybe it happened, and which one is the
tuma. Psul tuma means it maybe became tame.
Psul
guf is inherent.
Definitely, it's,
right. The lack of shmira means inherently it's lost something. You need a lishma or shmir the whole time.
Okay.
It's similar to the shema, the discussion by shmur l'matzah. You need shmir by matzah. Is the reason you need shmir to make sure it doesn't become chametz?
Right.
But let's say I know it didn't become chametz. Let's say I put it in a machine, and I know it didn't become chametz, so I don't need shmira. Or no, shmira is something you need inherent. You need a part. You need to infuse it with shmira. If I didn't watch the matzah, even though I know it's not chametz, but I didn't watch it, I didn't infuse the shmira. It's pasul. You can't eat it for matzah. Here too, also we're saying that seems to be a similar type of machlokas.
If it's a say my focus again here. Mm-hmm. The Yochanan holds psul tuma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which it means what? That the psul is.
We're concerned that since you didn't watch it, you're masiach taito. Maybe someone came along and touched it.
Right, but and that if Eliyahu comes and says nobody touched it, that's good.
Right.
As opposed to Rashi Melakish, who says psul guf, which means what?
That if I didn't watch over it, that's based on the pasuk of Mishmer Shumasai, you need to do Shmira. If you're lacking Shmira, the Chuma becomes disqualified.
It's definitely.
Why if Elio comes and says that you didn't watch it, but it wasn't Tummy, why is that not a good agent?
Because the concern is not, the Psul Guf doesn't mean we're concerned it became Tummy. Chuma requires Shmira. If I didn't watch it, maybe nothing happened.
Doesn't make a difference if nothing happens or not.
If I have video cameras, right.
If I didn't watch it.
Exactly. It needs this positive type of shmir.
But also, what about, I mean, we don't rely on Eliyahu Levi's psak because lo b'shamayim hi.
Ah, very good. Exactly. So the Rabbaz writes that he thinks Rabbi Yochanan does not hold to that concept. Rabbi Yochanan says, we do think that Eliyahu can pass him based on him. It is b'shamayim hi, he'll say. He argues on that concept. I mean, there's a pasuk, but he doesn't say the pasuk is referring to Eliyahu Navi. He, for some reason, thinks we can trust Eliyahu in this regard.
There's in the Masifta, in Bava Metzia, there's the Shuvan Chassam Sofer that he says that when he comes in a physical form, it's in Kuf Yudalid, based on the Tosfos on Amud Beis. So he says that if an Eliyahu comes in a physical form, we pass him like him. If he comes in a ruchnistic form, we don't pass him like him.
Exactly. It's a beautiful Chassam Sofer.
Yeah. That's I didn't see it inside. Yeah. I saw the Masifta. I remember the Tosfos.
That the Kohen
he was in the is he from Rachel or from Leah?
Right, from Rachel or from Leah.
The Tosfos on Amud Beis
in
Bava Metzia.
When's the base Kfaros? And he questioned whether he's a Kohen or not. Right.
If he's from Levi.
Yeah.
So if he's a Kohen, what are you doing here? Because he came and asked the Amora. Why do you only know 4 Sedarim? Why do you know 6 Sedarim? Well, I don't know Taharas.
That's so beautiful. He took him to Gan Eden, right? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. How can you know Taharas? I don't know 4 Sedarim, so.
Yeah, so that's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. Sometimes we do Paschim like them, sometimes we don't.
I didn't see the Chub inside, but.
But some others say that elsewhere, might be Lechem Mishnah that writes, we don't trust Eliyahu Navi when it comes to Psak Halacha. This case of Yochanan is not Pesach Halacha. This is Metzias. We just don't know what happened. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. I think we spoke about this a couple weeks ago. Gemara in Shabbos wants to know, could you use the skin of a dog, of a fish, for a
tefillin?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we ask Eliyahu Navi. When Eliyahu comes, we'll ask him, how can you trust Eliyahu Navi?
That's the Gemara in Shabbos, no?
Yeah, exactly. Gemara in Shabbos. So there they say, the question of Eliyahu Navi is, we want to deal with Metzias. Does a fish have skin or doesn't have skin? It wasn't a question of Halacha, it was a question of Metzias. In terms of Metzias, you can't ask Eliyahu Navi. But Psak Halacha, we apply lo b'shamayim. That's not b'shamayim. That's for us to decide, not for Eliyahu. But Metzias, you can. Here too, also, it's a question of Metzias. Rabbi Yochanan wants to know, did it become Tameh or did not become Tameh? I just didn't see. So that's
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's right. What I was asking. This is a Matthias question.
Exactly. So then that's why some say you can trust Eliyahu. Others say, no, no, if he comes in the form of a person, that's when you trust him. If he comes in the form of a malach,
right,
you can't trust him. Yeah, because the Gemara that refer to him as a malach. Gemara in Brachos, in the beginning, talks about a malach. How many flaps of the wing does it take for Gavriel to come, the malach Amavas, and Eliyahu and Navi to come? So Eliyahu there is a malach. But then, the other case where he actually shows up as a person. Okay, so now the Gemara had that question about if you understand that about psul, if it's psul guf, so I understand why when you replant these things, you still can't eat the truma when it grows because it's an inherent psul, but if it's a psul midin tuma, that it may have got tameh, so if I replant it, it becomes tahor. So if you think it replants, it becomes tahor, it should be mutter to achila. So before the Gemara goes on to explain, according to the opinion of mutter b'achila, it goes off in a little bit of a tangent to discuss this idea of the machlokes about hesach hadas, whether it's a psul guf or a psul tuma. So Gemara says, "Acv Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish." Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan again, who held that it's a psul tuma only, and it can become tahor. He asks Reish Lakish, who thinks it's a psul guf, that you can't become tahor, the following. Bishmal Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Mebroka Omer says the following: Lul katan haya bein kevesh lemizbeach. So they had a little pipe between the ramp and the mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't directly connected. There's a little space in between. You have to step over this hole. And in between, on the lower down, there's a little pipe, a hole between the ramp and the mizbeach. B'ma'aravol shel kevesh, the western part of the ramp. So just imagine the ramp goes up. You come in from the eastern side here.
The ramp goes up north, I think.
Exactly, south to north.
Right, yeah.
And there's east to west. So from my perspective, coming from the east, Kodesh Kedoshim is here on the west for me. The ramp is here, and the Mizbeach is here. You walk up from the south to north.
Right.
On the western part of the ramp, on the left side from my angle at least, so in that area there is this lul, Shokevish, Shasham Hayuzorkin Psuli Chatas Of. And the Chatas Of that became possible, they throw it down in that area. V'tu'u'abar Tsurason, and then when it just lasted there, the tsura, the form, became bad. You lost its form. It just sat there overnight. And then v'yotzen the base reifa. Then you take it out to the base reifa. So we're not so concerned with this area here, but the din is that that generally when something requires, when something is a psul guf, something becomes possible inherently. There's a problem in the basar itself. You don't need to wait for it to... you could bring it to base Sreifa right away. Get it burnt right away. But if something is more of an external psul when it comes to Gachim, the Gemara is going to give examples, so I'm just being in theory right now. If it's an external psul, then the basar you have to let sit overnight, so it goes to psulina. Psulina means left out overnight. And then only after psulina, then you're allowed to burn it. So if it's an inherent psul, you burn it right away. If it's an external psul, then you have to wait overnight. So now the question is as follows. Now, I amrit bishlama psul tuma have. If you understand that hesach hadas is a psul tuma, it's an external psul. So have mishum hachi ba'i ibur tzura. That's why you need ibur tzura. You have to let it sit overnight before burning it. Hashema yavo Eliyahu v'tarenu. Eliyahu might come along and be mitaher. So you have to let it sit overnight. We're going to get to some Rashis to understand things in a second. I amrit psul haguf lamli ibur tzurasun. If you're going to tell me it's an inherent psul, hesach adat, so why do you need to wait overnight? Why do you have to require ibur tzurasun? You should just let it be burned right away. So let's understand some Rashi. Yeah.
If Eliyahu comes in the Tarit, then what happens? Then you have to put it back on the
Mizbeach. Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I guess.
So then why don't you burn it? You know what I'm saying? I forget.
Well, you can't burn it right away. Because right now it might be kosher, it might be kutchim, that's not possible. But if you leave it overnight, you'll make it possible. And by you making it possible, then you could burn it. So if we know for sure it became tamei, so then in Hanami you'll have to burn it. But you weren't sure here. So Rashi says here, if you look at Shasham Zorkin Psulichat HaSa'of, it's around 12 lines from the bottom. He says, Fisha he nasis bekeren maravis dromis lamata. The chadas of were done in the southern, southwestern corner of the mizbeach. So there they drop any psulim right down in that area. Uchsheira psul ba, when their psul came on this chatas, she'aim psul aguf mamish, it wasn't a real inherent psul. Vein yachol asar from yad, you can't burn it right away. Mishum bizayon kodshim nosin osam sham. Because it's bizayon kodshim. You can't burn kodshim if it's still kosher. They placed in that area to let it sit there overnight. Okay. I think that. Okay. So then, so that being the case, and therefore you need, Rashi says, the next Rashi, v'tu abar tura. So it has to ruin its form. Hainu psulina. That means psulina. Ibor tsuras maris baser belinas laila echad. One night, by seeing it overnight, it's going to lose its form a little bit, lose its texture, and get spoiled. V'chevin shalona belaila, harehi nosar, it becomes leftovers. V'tarn sreifa v'nisav. Then it requires burning. Okay. So back to the Gemara now. So the Gemara wants to know, why does this psul chatas require anything being left overnight? Say one second. All right, so let's go back in Rashi. I'm sorry, let's finish in Rashi. Rashi explains something further. The fact that we require havar sura to let it sit overnight, lav kishapigabo. It can't be a case of pigal where you had in mind a different zman when you were machshava, bad machshava. Oh, nitmeis, or it actually became tame. Oh, yatzor, it left the boundaries where it can't leave. Oh, malkal shalok mitzvasa kimari, or you did a malika, the type of shechting, a malika, you did it inappropriate. It can't be any of those cases, because those cases, the hapsumalyu, those are real inherent psulim. Why do you have to look after another psulina? All those we just mentioned are real psuls, and you burn them right away. So what's a case where you'd have to look for a psulina to burn it? The only thing left, it must be the case that the chatas became possible midin hesachadas. The kohen stopped paying attention, he looked the other way, didn't have shmira, it was hesachadas, what do you do? Well, I don't know, maybe someone touched it who was tame. Maybe someone didn't touch it who was tame. I don't know the story with it. I can't burn it because maybe it's real kachim, it's kasher. But I can't bring them as back because maybe it's tame because I was hesachadas. So you throw it down in this area and let it sit overnight. Let the psulina kick in overnight, and then once the psulina becomes nosar, the next morning you burn it. So now, once we establish hesach hadas as the problem, so the Gemara says once again, four lines from the bottom. Iamrit bishlma psul tumahave. If the hesach hadas is simply psul tuma, meaning there's a chashash, maybe somebody tummy touched it, so then mishim hachi bai ibur tzura. That's why I need to wait for ibur tzura. I need to wait for lina, shema yavo Eliyahu yitarenu, because otherwise Eliyahu might come in the interim and say it's tower. So I can't burn it until another psul lina kicks in. If it's an inherent psul, why do I have to wait overnight? The Mishnah tells us, this is the rule. Kol shepsula bagufo, anything that's inherently possible, yisraf miyad. It automatically becomes burned. If the meat itself becomes possible, you burn it right away without delay. However, bidamu balim, but let's say not the meat, something with the blood that was separate became possible, or the baal became possible, an external psul, external to the basar itself, then you need to ubar to rasun, you have to wait overnight, and only then be yotzen the base as refa. So it sounds like the fact that hesach hadas, we require two bar tirasam, we're coupling it with the dam and bile, the bile becoming possible, it's an external psul, not an inherent psul. That's the kashi they had to Reish Lakish. Amalei, hi Tana, the answer is Tana de Bei Rabba Bar Avohu, Amrafil Pigol Tan Ibutra. No, this is the opinion that even Pigol, which is an inherent psul, where you had the bad machshavos, the coin has bad machshavos, even that requires two bar tirasa. Every psul requires Ibutra. And it's a different opinion. Therefore, even though I hold Hesach Hadas as a Psul Guf, it's an inherent Psul, says Reish Lakish, it still requires Ibur Tzura, just like Pigel requires Ibur Tzura. Says the Gemara, asks another question. Going along the same discussion with Hesach Hadas, Eisive, Nitba, if the Oshinifsa Basar became Tame, or became disqualified, Oshiyata Chut, or left the boundaries where it can't leave, the Kalim, the curtains, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Yizrok, you could still throw we're talking about the bus. If the bus became possible, you could still be Zorik the blood. You can't throw the blood. Rabbi Yeshua admits, Sheim Zara Kurta. But if you were to do it, Lechachila, you shouldn't throw the blood. You shouldn't sprinkle the blood. But if you were to do it, it's Hurta. So my Nifsa, when the Gemara brought this case of Nitma or Nifsal, what's the case of Nifsal? It became possible how? Lab Hesach Hadas is not referring to Kate became Pasal Midin Hesach Hadas. So once that's the case, now Iyamr Bishla Psul Tumahavi, it's simply a concern that maybe someone touched it who's Tameh. So that's why I can understand why the tzitz might be able to be miratze, because the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol would wear can be miratze on tuma. If Tami touched it, so the tzitz could work. So even though Lichat Chila Rabbi Yeshua says I should not be able to, I shouldn't sprinkle blood, but b'dieved if I did, it's going to work. It works because the tzitz is going to be mitahir any of the tuma. But Eli Yamr Psul Haguf Have Amayhurza. If you're going to say that Hesach Hadas is an inherent psul to it, the tzitz can't be meratz on that. Why would that work b'dieved? Why are you allowed to sprinkle the blood on b'dieved? It's not the tzitz only helps tuma, doesn't help Hesach Hadas. So says the Gemara, my nifsal. Does that mean nifsal? It doesn't refer to nifsal because Hesach Hadas. It's nifsal with tivul yom. That's the talking about. Okay, it's the case of tivul yom. Someone who went. Who went to the mikvah but didn't yet have shkiyas hachama, this person who touched it. And that's the case of nifsa. So, yihachi hainu tome. That's the case of tome. Gemara already lists the case. Nitma, osha nifsa habasar. So, tivil yom is basically someone who's not fully tahor. He's still tame. Says the Gemara, trei gavne tame. There are two types of tame. There's a person who's really tame, and there's a person who went to the mikvah and is only partially tame. So that's what the case is talking about. But we're not discussing here a case of Hesach Hadas at all. Nothing to do with our discussion. No question here. Okay, so this was the whole discussion we had about Hesach Hadas, going back to trying to explain the Shesile Chuma. Going back to Shesile Chuma, you had these Chuma seeds that were Tame that you replanted. And they wanted to know, why. Who is it Aser to? Is it Aser to the Tzar? Is it Aser to the Tame? So comes along Kisalik Rabin. The Rabin came, Amri L'Shmaisa Kami W. He said the following statement to Rabbi Yirmiyah. When he fled, when he traveled to Eretz Yisrael, he spoke to Rabbi Yirmiyah and told this whole sugi over. He was so excited about it. Rabbi Yirmiyah responds, Amar, Bivloi Tipshoi. The Babylonians are quite stupid. Mishum di Yosli Ba'ar de Chashucha. They sit in a very dark land, very deep, low down land. Armisin Shmaisin de Bechashucha. And therefore they say a very dark type of sugi, meaning a very poor logic. So, this statement alone is a pretty interesting statement. Biruni has a statement also in Sanhedrin about how they live Bechashuche, Bimesi, Bechashuche, I forget exactly the pasuk. The pasuk there in Eicha that talks about how in Bavel they sat in the dark land and the Torah of Bavel is very, very inferior to that of Eretz Yisrael. And there's Rabbi Yirmiyah Lashitasa that he thought the Torah of Bavel is much more inferior. So, this poses the question now, if Bavel. We see a number of places. The Gemara in Babasa says, "Mach the Aris Yisrael, Machim the Eretz Yisrael, the Avir. Avir the Eretz Yisrael is Machim, makes you smarter." A number of sugyas that say that Eretz Yisrael is much more superior than the Torah of Babel. Why then do we paskin like the Babli for the most part over the Yerushalmi? So one of the answers given we discussed also a few weeks ago about that the Babli is Basra. We always paskin like the Basra since Babli came afterwards. Lasted for many more years after, therefore we paskin like the Babli over the Yerushalmi. Despite the fact that it says here that the Babylonians were not so bright, we paskin like them anyways. The Ritva in Yuma quotes from a Tshuva, the Rambam, that says as follows. These statements about Babel were only true during the earlier times of the Amoraim, where they're running around for their lives. People, the Goyim were chasing them, they were Shas HaShmad, they didn't have any peace of mind, they couldn't learn that well. But later on, things got a little quieter, and then they were able to learn much stronger, and then they became more superior to that of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Rambam writes. And yet there's a beautiful nitziv on Parshas Kisisa, and HaMikdavar says as follows. He says, you're right, it was very hard in Bavel, and they were very much challenged. But because of that, they themselves weren't as smart as the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, and the land didn't help them as Eretz Yisrael helped the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. They had a lot less going for them. But because of that, they were able to overcome it, and they fought hard. Says the Nitziv, they had to overcome that they didn't have natural, the natural brains, and they didn't have the help from the land. But since they fought hard and overcame that, the Torah Bavel became more superior in the end of the day. That's what he says. Beautiful piece. He says he talks actually about in terms of the Luchos, how Moshe Rabbeinu, the second Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu, he carved it out, etched it out himself. Because when you have to work hard on your own, you get so much greater out of that. The beautiful piece he has.
So as Saragra.
Right, exactly. That's yeah, exactly. Such a beautiful
thing. Nowadays, also, you see that, in America, you think, whatever. And everything is See, the biggest Talmid Chacham would come out much more. You see that like in Europe when it was hard, and that's where the...
Yep. Oftentimes you find a really big genius, and things come naturally to him, but just, it's like too easy for him, it just ends up, doesn't become much. Rav Chaim Kanievsky likes to say about himself, it's hard for us to understand this, he says he's not so smart. That's what Rav Chaim Kanievsky says about himself, but you work hard at yourself. He doesn't think he's like an Eloy, even though we think he is, but he worked hard from when he was young, he worked hard and didn't waste time, and through that effort, you could become so much greater. He writes in the Orchos Yosher, that's his Sifrei Musar, he says that everyone knows that someone who's smarter, he might hop a little bit quicker than someone who's not as smart, but as long as you put the effort in, you could get to the same place. And oftentimes, with the fact that you have to put the effort in, you become even greater than those who don't.
I think you see that with Baal Tshuva. You see that the guy goes to yeshiva regularly, and regularly he goes up from, so he goes through the system, you know, and it comes to a certain point, and these guys, they just, they come from, you know, they're 20, and then all of a sudden they start, and then, like, in a couple of years, they just, like,
yeah, that drive, right.
Right, they're holding the same place, and then they're going further.
Yeah. So after that introduction, Rav Yirmiyahu was not so happy, was not very pleased with the shot that came out of Bavel. He says as follows, Lo shmilachu, do you not hear the following? Ha'adir b'shum ben lakish mishrei de b'oshiyah, which said, Mei hachag, which refers to nisach hamayim, shenitmu, that became tamei. What are you supposed to do? You're talking, Rashi says you're talking about a case of Shabbos. You can't go outside to draw from the well anymore. It's too late. You can't do Hatzah. So you have now stuck in the base of Megdash with Me'achak that became Tameh. He says, Hishikin v'charka chikdishim. So Hishikin, have them kiss, have it touch together with some of the water that was passing through the Amah, through the base of Megdash. And then you're makdish it by connecting it to the ground. The water that was passing through the base of Megdash, it became Tahor. And therefore Tahor. However, Hekdishin, but Harkach, but that's your machtish at first, and now it became Tameh, and then a Harkach Hishika, and then you try to bridge it together with the water passing through the base of Mikdash, to Mayim, that doesn't work. So you said, what's the difference? Whether or not Mach Michti, Zriah, which means the replanting it, this connection, taking the Tameh water, putting it back to a water source, Zriah Ninu, Mali Hishikin Vacharkach Hakdishin, Mali Gdishin Vacharkach Hishikin. Who cares the order I did something? If something was Tameh, let me connect it to the ground. Who cares if it was Kodesh Mayim or not Kodesh Mayim? Either way, Zriah should help make a tower. Alma, we therefore see, Ein Zriah lehektish. We see Zriah does not help Hektish. The connection, reconnecting it to the ground, only affects something that's Chol, doesn't affect something that's Kodesh. Hachanami, Ein Zriah l'truma. So too, replanting something that's Tameh in general, let's say Chulun that's Tameh, if I were to replant it, it would become tower. But to replant Truma that became Tameh, that doesn't work. There's a certain mala, a certain level, the Chacham said, it's not going to work for Hekdesh, and it doesn't work for Truma. You're right, they're two different things. One's talking about Zuriyah for water, one's talking about Zuriyah for plants, but the same halacha applies. We don't allow it to be Metaher Hekdesh, we don't allow it to be Metaher Truma as well. And that's the reason why, when you replant it, it still is Tameh, and that's why the Kohen can't eat it. So says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamer lo hashmaisa. He said the following sugya over as well. Amalei abai hekdeshin.
Yeah. Far again, just on the sure. This far ain't really hekdesh. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah, a certain mala. I think Rashi is a mala. A certain level they wanted, a standard they kept to. They didn't allow it to work for chuma, kachim and chuma. So now the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamer lo hashmaisa. He said over the sugya. He was thinking about the following question. Amalei abai. Abai said, Hekdeshin b'kli kamar? Is this only true that if you're makdish this object, let's say the water, in a kli, only if it was in a kli, it's hekdesh? Aval b'peh lo avid rabban malah, but let's say you're makdish only b'peh. You never put it into a kli. It never had a kedusha's gov. I just said it with my mouth. Maybe it wouldn't have high level kedusha, and therefore it would work zriya. Uldilma b'peh nami avid rabban malah, or even when you're makdish b'peh, it also had that same status of hektish, where the rabban said, you know what, you can't apply zuriyah to hektish b'peh. That was a shaila. Certainly hektish b'kli, you can't apply zuriyah to. The shaila was, what about hektish b'peh, which seems to be a lower level. So Amalei Zulo Shemati, he responds, I didn't hear this particular shaila, but Kayotzi bo Shemati, I heard a similar discussion. The Amr of Abohu, Amr of Yochanan, Anovim Shenitmu, it became grapes that were tame. Darchan, you could press them, v'acharkach hekdeshin, and then afterwards you makdish them, that becomes tahor. Hekdeshin v'acharkach darchan, but let's say first you makdish the grapes and then you press them, tameim. That won't work. So what's the difference? So v'ha'anavim the kedushas peninu. These grapes are referring to whereas matish bepeh. So these have grapes are going to become hektish. That was bepeh. There's no kli you put it in. Nisach ha'mayim goes in a kli. You don't put grapes in a kli. But afil hachi still nonetheless, even though it's only kedushas peh, avud rabban mala. The rabban made a special mala that you cannot undo the kedushas. If something became hektish and then tameh, you can't get rid of the tumah from hektish. So and again, we're talking about kedushas peh. So Amar Yosef, Anavim Kamras, you're talking about grapes. Hocha b'anavim shel tshuma askinan. We're talking about grapes that are tshuma, not stam chulin grapes. Grapes that were hektish, that then became, sorry, grapes that were tshuma, that then became tamer. Now, the kedushas haped didhu kedushas kli damya. Tshuma, making grapes into tshuma, even though it's only kedushas haped, by me saying this is going to be tshuma, even though it's in essence only kedushas haped, it's equal to kedushas kli. Because since it doesn't require kedushas kli, nisach ha'mayim requires kedushas kli. Tshuma does not. So if you need kedushas kli, so then you could talk about whether kedushas peh is going to have the same status. But if you don't require kedushas kli, so kedushas peh then is basically kedushas kli. It has the same status. So saying kedushas peh for tshuma is the same thing as kedushas kli of nisach ha'mayim. Because that's the most hektish you could apply to it. The only shaila was something that requires kedushas kli, but you only do kedushas peh to it. That was the only shaila. Aval honey debay kli peh kli, that which requires kli, namely nisach ha'mayim and the like, bepeh lo avir rabbanim ala. But when it comes to something like that, like nisach ha'mayim, if you were to designate it with peh only by statements, that would not require that the chum did not institute a mala. That would be able to be metaher through zuria such hektish. Now the Gemara goes just on a side point for a moment. We just quoted this idea of darchan vafilo tuva. When the Gemara said above that when you have these grapes that became tamei and you can start pressing them, you can be metaher them as long as they're not truma. If they're chulin anavim that became tamei, I could press them, they're going to be tahar. And afilo tuva, even as many grapes as I want, there's no limit to what grapes I can be metaher. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that? We said earlier, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Rabbi Yochanan, anavim shenitmu, grapes that became tamei, dorchen pachas pachas mikabetza. You could only press them less than a kabetza at a time, so they don't have a shear of a kabetza. If they do have a shear of kabetza, they're going to be matire the wine. But here, Rabbi Yochanan says, unlimited, you could take all the grapes in the world. Gemara says, Ibai say, mahacha nami pachas mikabetza. No, it's referring to also a case here, we only permitted less than a kabetza. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests, Ibai say, ma. Hasim dinagulu berishon dehavelu inu sheni, halcha dinagul besheni dehavelu shlishi. Rabbi Yochanan originally, yesterday's blah was talking about a case where Rishon touched the grapes which became sheni, and therefore the sheni is going to make the grapes into shlishi. But the case here in this daf is the case where a sheni touched the grapes which are going to be a shlishi now. A shlishi and chuma cannot make a fourth level, cannot affect the grapes with the grape juice from it.
The person's a Rishon, and he touched the grapes, made them a sheni, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, what happened?
Now the grapes are sheni, and the grapes can make the grape juice into a shlishi. That's why the pachs pach mikabetza.
Uh-huh.
But our case on this daf is where a sheni touched the grapes, making the grapes into a shlishi. The shlishi will not, in turn, make the grape juice into a ri.
Right.
So that's what this case, that's why you could press it.
But I'm not concerned anyway, because if I have less than a kibetza, then it's not matama.
No, that the gemara here, we're saying it's not less than a kibetza. Here in this gemara, you could use as many grapes as you want.
Uh-huh.
The first answer, the gemara said you could press as many grapes as you want. The gemara says, how can you do as many grapes as you want?
Right.
Or I said, no, the first answer is, no, this case here is also pachs pachs mekabetza. Even though it didn't say it, it meant to say pachs mekabetza.
Right.
The second answer is, no, this is talking about as many grapes as you want you could press. Why? Isn't it going to make the grape juice tamay? No, it's a case where the grapes are actually shlishi. Since the grapes are shlishi, you could press as many grapes as you want.
Some atama further.
Exactly. Exactly. Should we try to get to the Mishnah? We'll try to get there quickly?
Yep.
So it says the Gemara, Amarava. Af ananami tanina. We're going to bring a series of sources that we have these special malas, these special levels that the chachamim apply to kudshim and shuma. So amarava af ananami tanina. We also taught a mishnah of v'nosan alav ma'im chayim el keli, that you, in terms of the water, the mechatas for paraduma, you place the water into the kli. Shetei chiyusum b'kli, that you should have the kli should be used to draw the water. Chiyusum, the life source. So when you pull the water up, the mechatas, pick up from the clay and pick it directly up from the water. Gemara says, "V'nosan The pasuk says v'nasan, you're supposed to place it, not draw the water with the kli, but take water in another kli and then place it into the new kli that you're going to be used. Alma tulushin inu, you're supposed to use tulushin, you're supposed to use water that had been separate from the water and then pour it into the original kli. Why are we taking the initial kli to draw directly from it? Says the Gemara, v'halachim nechubarinu, but mechubarim, by drawing it, that's mechubarim. But the Gemara, the pasuk which says v'nasan, sounds like tulushin, says you're supposed to take it from one kli, put it to the next kli, not directly draw it from the water. The Gemara says, Ella mala hachnami mala. No, it's a special mala. They wanted to do a special mala. They wanted you to use the original kli as a special level, a special chumra for kachim, for paraduma. Here too also you apply special kachim, a special mala, a special standard. Again, very different types of standards, but we're just seeing that the Mishnah goes against the Torah, may add a chumra on top of the Torah, because there's special higher standards that Chacham wanted us to keep by. Similarly, it says Amar of Simi Bar Ashi Af Ananami Tanina. We also have a mission that says Tavol V'Alva Olam. You go to the mikvah, then you come up. Ochel B'Smeiser. Harev Shemsho. Then the sun sets. Ochel B'Truma. You can eat Truma. Truma in Kachim Lo. But you can't eat Kachim. Amai Taru. Why can't you Kachim? I went to the mikvah and the Shema set, the sunrise. Why can I eat it? Ella Mala Hachnai Mala. It was a special Mala. Now this Mala is a standard that the Torah says that you cannot eat kachim until you bring the kapara. Talking about zav, zava, your lettuce, tzara, they can't eat kachim until they bring the carbon finally, even after Harav Shemshom. But you see here that kachim have an extra level in addition to truma. So this is an interesting source from the Torah's perspective of kachim. And the third case is Amar Rav Ashi Af Ana Nami Tanina. We also learn in the Mishnah, Habasar, Lirabos Hasa Eitim Lavona, that basar comes to include even Eitim, even Lavona, will be bechlal tuma. The Gemara says, "Eitim levanim b'nei tuma ninu." The incense and the wood is going to be subject to tuma. Elamala hachanai mala. No, a special mala. Since eitim levona, we're talking about that of kachim, that of hektish. Since it's of hektish, we added a special mala, a special chumra. Here too, also we applied the special chumra that we don't allow you to fix the main nisach hamayim that became tame. If it was hektish, you can't fix it. A special mala. All these chumras that apply. That's a pasuk that the basar becomes tameh, that the meat of the kachim becomes tameh. That's a superfluous word to say, it's extra there, so therefore they say, what's coming to include? That even the eitzim levona, which are not really roi lachila and subject to tumah, in comes to kachim, we can make them tameh.
We can.
We can, correct.
What's that eitzim levona that you use for?